no place to escape to.
This is the last
podcast
on the left.
Live from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
I tell you what, if I was 16-year-old working in Starbucks, yes, I know I feel like I would be invigorated by receiving healthcare.
Oh.
But if a woman is willing to shit on the floor,
right,
and throw it at me, just let her use the bathroom.
Well, in Starbucks, she's allowed to use the bathroom now. You don't have to buy anything anymore. They're public restrooms surrounded by a coffee restaurant. That's all Starbucks is now.
Come on, man.
Oh, man.
At least have to sniff a crawler or something before you can use the bathroom.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't necessarily want them sniffing around before they take it. Anyway, welcome to the Side Stories, ladies and gentlemen. I am Ben Kissel, Henry Zebrowski.
Yeah, and guess what? We have a special guest that we managed to pull into the fucking studio against his will.
Oh, my God.
Marcus Parks.
To be special guest, Marcus
you
Parks.
You are special. Mark, I have to introduce. Why? You spoke before the introduction. You're special guest, Marcus Parks.
Oh, my God. It's
and
me.
Ladies and gentlemen, you might recognize him from last podcast on the left, Able Against Top Hat, page 7. And really just influential. You're an influencer.
Thank you.
Marcus Parks is joining us.
Hello.
Have you been asked to sell ads on your Instagram yet?
No, I haven't even been verified on any of it yet.
I'm not verified on Instagram either.
They won't even verify me on Twitter.
Really?
Yeah.
They stopped doing it because of the Nazis. They stopped doing it because of it. But I got in there early because someone was impersonating me on Instagram for a while. I became verified, and he was using some colorful language about people of certain sexual orientation.
All right.
So that's why that had to stop.
All right. Well, so first of all, thank you, everyone, for the response we've gotten here for Side Stories. It's a bit of an offshoot of Last Podcast on the Left, the proper show. However, unlike Last Podcast on the Left, I just want to really clarify: there's no information in this show.
Like
this show is our Gabby conversation. So if you're coming for a deep dive of like a bunch of informative conversation, just listen to the show proper. This is just us hanging out as friends.
We're trying to be friends. Audibly. on like we're trying to record that essence.
Yes.
And a part of it, it's like when we were doing, because like last week I was doing QAnon, and in the middle of it I was just like, I can't do this anymore. And a part of it, it's like we just don't have enough. This is just not the place to come for all of the grisly details.
Right.
Unless you want to know quite a bit about my bowel habits.
Yes.
Which I can hit you with quite a bit. But we just don't have the time because of the research weight of last podcast.
Yeah, right. It's quite heavy, and the research and writing time that goes into the book that's going to be coming out next year.
Yes, can't wait. So this is just a hand.
And I've been tagging.
Tagging?
Yeah, that's my big thing now, is that I don't really have time to work as much anymore because I'm out there tagging.
Oh, you're tagging buildings? What's the name? What's your moniker?
Spider-Ham.
Spider-Ham's incredible.
I love the spectacular Spider-Ham.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah,
dude. Wasn't that a comic book?
Yeah, Peter Porker, spectacular Spider-Ham.
No kidding?
Yeah.
By the way, we all saw Deadpool 2,
yeah,
and none of us mentioned it to each other, but we all saw it on like the same weekend, it came out. Very good.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Ryan?
It was fine.
Oh, you are such a troll. You are such a troll. Ryan Reynolds is both Brooke and I celebrity cheat, so it was a little awkward. Because he is the most charming and the funniest actor that we have working today.
What I'll say about Deadpool 2 is that it's one of the rare movies where the lead person is actually the most entertaining part of the movie.
Yes.
Most of the time that those people are not, except for, I would say, a Robert Downey Jr. Mm-hmm. and an Iron Man film, because he was very good back in the day. But Deadpool, Ryan Reynolds, he's funny, and he says a bit of a quip there.
Yeah.
Back and forth. Yeah.
No, and he's not a billionaire who funds the war efforts.
Hey, man, he's an inventor.
Yeah, and they had like a bunch of like really cool mid-90s X-Force jokes. Like they got a little dig in on Rob Liefeld, who can't draw feet.
There was a couple of jokes in there that I knew were just way over my head, but I knew I was supposed to think they were funny because there would just be a nerd in the back being like, ha!
Yeah, I did that exact same thing. It's just like, yeah, you're a great character created by a guy who can't draw feet. And I went,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I felt about Phantom Thread. When I went to go see Phantom Thread, it was filled with it was a Brooklyn art house theater, and it was a whole audience of people going, oh.
Isn't that?
Oh. And I was like, this isn't funny. is this supposed to be? And then they're all talking about on the interviews with Danny Day-Lewis and Paul Thomas Anderson. And they're like, this is like a departure. We try to make this really funny. And I was like,
what?
This is funny?
It wasn't marketed like it was supposed to be funny.
I don't know, man. I need to be told. I need to tell. You got to toss Will Arnett in at least one of the commercials for me to know it's a comedy.
I also, I was watching Roseanne, the sitcom. I like a laugh track. I've come full circle. Let me know. Just cue it up for me. I don't know what's funny anymore.
Does the new Roseanne have a laugh track?
There's a laugh track in there because she says some inflammatory things, but it's not as inflammatory because it's doused with the water of laughter.
Oh, very nice.
Yes. Oh. I do like that show. Her sister Jackie saves it because she always points out that Roseanne's a bigot.
Oh, good.
And then that's kind of the back and forth.
That is great. Yep. And then that's great. That is great. They're all doing very well.
Yeah. Richer than ever. That's good.
Richer than ever than they'll ever be, and they'll ever be ever again. Marcus is joining us today.
Yes.
Partially due to the fact, I thought that would be fun to have a feature on Side Stories where Marcus gets to come and address the many things we are told we are wrong about in some of our episodes. And we would like to do a correction.
Yes.
With Marcus Park segment.
Okay, so this is going to be when Marcus is on. We do put him to work a little bit. As always.
Uh-huh.
So
he's got to work. He can't not
have to work.
Working,
I have to work.
You
I
have to work. Have to, but you love to work. You know, we know that.
Everyone knows how much I love to work.
It doesn't drive you crazy.
No.
It's not tearing at the foundations of his personality and his relationship. Yeah. No, he's fine.
Like a large rock right on my chest.
All right. Well, we got a solid minute for this segment of corrections. So what are some of the corrections?
One of the corrections, I have to correct myself on this one, and I corrected you on something, Ben, and I was wrong.
Hey, all
right. I got to admit, right up top, George Harrison was briefly a Hare Krishna.
Well, let's move this segment to 5 minutes long. I'm liking how it's starting. I knew he was a Hare Krishna.
He was briefly a Hare Krishna. I got the Maharishi and Hare Krishna a little confused. So yes, Ben, George Harrison was briefly a Hare Krishna.
And you, my friend, will never be living that down. I wouldn't have known that I was right unless you told me I was correct.
Well,
but my friend, you are wrong. Let it sink in.
Yes.
I've got some things that you've said that were wrong.
Well, not when...
Because this isn't just Marcus Park's corrections. This is everybody corrections.
Okay.
Well. Oh, good, good, good. The finger goes around. I know that the Bach... We were confused about which Bach it was. That it was not... Let me tell you. So Barbara Bach...
Uh-huh.
It's not Catherine Bach. Catherine Bach was from Daisy Duke.
And what he's talking about is on the Mark David Chapman episode, we talked about the Playboy that Mark David Chapman read on the way from Atlanta back to New York City. He read a Playboy with the John Lennon interview in it, and we said the wrong Bach. Or we didn't say the wrong Bach. We identified
the
wrong
Bach. You
said the
right
one. Well, I said the right one. There's a certain Bach that's on the cover, and the Bach that Henry thought it was the Bach from Dukes of Hazzard.
Okay.
But it was a different Bach. And the amazing thing about this Bach is that the Bach that was on the cover of the Playboy that Mark David Chapman read.
Sebastian Bach.
No, his tits are too flat.
This Bach ended up later marrying your favorite Beatle, Ringo Starr.
No kidding. Yeah,
no kidding.
Synchronicity.
Wow.
So it was a synchronicity right there.
Ringo is the best. Always on time with both the drum and location. He just never caused any waves. People have to just study Ringo. Do what I do. Attach yourself to talented people and just show up. And then they just have to keep you on. And
yeah,
just
because
don't rock
now
the
you're
boat.
A permanent... Because he's a permanent fixture,
yeah.
And then what, were you going to Kissel off the podcast? And everyone's like, it's not going to be the same anymore.
Right.
But at the same time, you get...
By
grandfathered
the way,
in.
I did do I Googled my name on Reddit, or I didn't Google my name. That's how powerful Google is. Searched my name on Reddit, and overall, fairly good response. A couple of people being like, why is he there?
Oh.
But then the audience is so nice, and they say, he represents us. And I say, I do represent you in the fact that I don't know what I'm talking about either. So it's perfect.
It's nice that we can admit that we're wrong.
Sure.
Because it shows that we're growing. And you know what it shows? I guess this is growing up.
Now, who sings that one?
Blink 182.
What was the sad song that Blink 182 had?
Adam's song.
He
was about divorce.
Oh,
right?
No, it's about suicide. Yes.
Wait, which one was it? I think Adam's song was both about divorce and suicide.
Okay, it's kind of divorce is the suicide of love, so that makes a lot of sense.
When you type in Blink 182 sad song,
Blink 182 divorce song is Stay Together for the Kids.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's so the here's most... your holiday. Yeah, oh, that my. One.
That is the most, like, on-point song about divorce ever. Stay together for the kids.
Ben, their anger hurts my ears. Been running strong for 7 years. Rather than fix the problems, they never solve them all. It makes no sense at all. I see them every day. We get along, so why can't they? If this is what he wants and this is what she wants, then why is there so much pain?
I'm going to Google Blink-182 net worth real quick here because I have a feeling they're richer than God.
I never thought I'd die alone. I laughed the loudest who'd have known. I traced the cord back to the wall. No wonder it was never plugged in at all.
That's
I took
the,
my
that's,
time. I hurried yep. up. The choice was mine. I didn't think enough. I'm too depressed to go on. You'll be sorry when I'm gone.
Each member of Blink-182 is worth $60 million. So there you go.
I never conquered when you came. 16. Just held such better days. Days when I still felt alive. We couldn't wait to get outside. The world was wide. Too late to try. The tour was over. We'd survive. I couldn't wait till I got home to pass the time in my room alone.
That's so sad, isn't it?
It's really sad.
Just get back out there. Have fun with your friends. All right, other album. Corrections.
Next correction. Ben, this is a correction for you.
Doubt it.
The Hemsworth brothers are Australian, not English.
Oh, come on.
It's different. It's a different country. Adam's song took place on the album Enema of the State.
I know. With the what was the name of the porn star on there?
I can't remember
Janine.
What her name was.
Janine. Yes.
Janine.
Yes.
Was it Janine? Was it just Janine, or was it?
No, I think she was a one namer. I think she was a one name.
Janine Evans.
No.
I don't remember that one.
Janine Lindemeyer Mulder. Janine Linda Mulder. That was the one. Oh, my penis just remembered.
Uh oh. All right. Yes, the Hemsworth brothers. That's right. Australian. I remember that now.
Yes,
they are handsome.
Yes,
I love him as Thor. Mm-hmm. I can't believe there's two of them. Yeah, where?
You know what? Every day I wake up and I thank God that there's two of them so that there's enough.
Yeah.
I want there to be enough of them.
Well, I mean, it's just, they're twins, right? Are they twins?
I don't think
no,
so.
No, they're not twins.
No,
okay.
I don't think, no.
Well, we'll have a corrections on this episode, next episode. Not twins.
I have another correction. This is for me. This is from our black metal episode. Huh? When pronouncing Elvish words, the C is always hard.
Yeah.
All right. We are children. Yeah. Okay.
C's are hard.
Yeah.
And then remember, we learned last time is it's Frasier, bruh.
I was about to get to all the right. Dennis Nilsen corrections because there are quite a few for the Dennis Nilsen episode.
Well, just with mispronunciations
well,
and stuff like
oh,
that.
Oh, just general. Just okay. A whole bunch of different things.
All right.
Yes. Fraserburg is, as Henry said, pronounced Fraserburg.
I like Fraserburg better. It makes me think of Fraser naturally, and it just feels like he's the mayor.
Fraserburg.
Fraserburg?
Fraserburg.
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 I don't know. I think it's their tongue to do all that wavy stuff.
Fraser. Drowning boy. The story of a drowning boy.
I don't like it.
It's from licking the knees of an older man.
Found out what a magic sponge is.
Uh-oh. Mm-hmm. Is it what we said it was?
Yeah, it's a sack of nuts.
No, magic sponge, it's a facetious phrase used in the UK because you know how a lot of soccer players will fake injuries? Flopping around. The magic sponge is that they come out with a sponge in a bucket of ice water, and the reason why they call it a magic sponge is because they'll just kind of sponge whatever injury the person is faking, and that magically makes it all better.
It is actually hilarious watching soccer, and then it's like when you get injured in God of War, where you just like step on something green and you're immediately healed.
Yeah.
It's very like video game-esque because they're not really injured.
Not injured at all.
Good actors, though.
Yeah. Oh,
very
yeah.
good Italian actors.
Yeah.
They always pretend to cry and shit. Are you done with being haunted by Dennis Nilsen? Because after a while, like when I did, like Mark David Chapman got to me emotionally from reading about it. Mm-hmm. And then Dennis Nilsen did the same thing. And a part of me has been thinking quite a bit about his office life. and what that must have been like of him just every day coming in, obviously reeking of corpses.
Yep.
And no right. one saying anything, just assuming it's just because he's got weird guy smell.
Yeah, do you... That's a good point. Does corpse smell stay to you? I mean, it's got to be on his clothes and everything, right?
Oh, yeah. Corpse smell definitely sticks to you. I don't know. I guess a whole bunch of deodorant, because no one ever talked about his office smell. The only thing they really talked about him in the office, his office behavior, what he was known for being very clever. People actually liked him, and he was extremely liberal. He was super left-wing, and he would just harangue his co-workers constantly about left-wing politics, and specifically would talk about Margaret Thatcher all the time, which makes him pretty like it was a whole common thing in the 80s, like musicians saying about how much they hated Margaret Thatcher. You cannot read a comic book written by a fucking British writer in the 80s without some story about how evil Margaret Thatcher was.
Alan Moore woke up from a dead sleep how many times going, Margaret Thatcher, like, so mad.
Oh yeah, Alan Moore, Grant Morrison, Neil Gaiman, all of them, but especially Alan Moore is just like, Margaret Thatcher.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck it, Margaret Thatcher. Well,
I wish I could be better at the accents.
So he wasn't as bad in the office as I assumed he would be.
He was still a fucking jerk off. I'm certain this on some level he's still like not the funnest guy, but he was like clever. He was very like punny and funny, but he would have like a hard time. Just interpersonally, you'd imagine.
Yeah, absolutely. Creepy guy.
Yeah,
you're right.
I guess this is going to come out before the next episode.
This will come out before episode two.
Just a little foreshadowing. The plumbing is stuffed. Oh my God. That I can't get that out of my head. You will listen to that and it's like, Jesus.
Yeah.
It's craziness.
Yeah.
Yeah, buddy. It's fucking terrifying.
I don't like him.
He had one friend in the office. One woman that he said he had warm feelings towards. And a lot of the women actually really liked him because he was like the gay guy in the office.
Okay.
And he was openly gay, actually. He showed up to the Christmas party with Twinkle. The boy that he lived with before the murders
began. He was 18.
Yeah. And
I'm not going to put him that far above a boy, though. He had the mentality of a 16-year-old.
No, he is not that. We actually joke about this in the live show, which, by the way, we got a bunch of shows coming up. Hope to see you all at Clusterfest in San Francisco. Cannot wait. But it's like whenever there's an adult scene, a porno, and it's like a teenager, it's really you only got 2 years. It's 18 to 19 year. I don't like the term teenager. It's just an 18-year-old or 19-year-old because it's a 60% chance that it's not legal. So, yes. 18 to 19.
It's very difficult to get in there. You just got to get in those years. But they're still children. Even 18, 19, they're still children. And so when he took him to the Christmas party, and then people then from then on would be like, are you gay, Dennis? And then he'd go, and he would just smile. Like his big thing, he liked to respond by just like, am I or am I not?
I like that. Answer a question with a question. That's a good way to get out. All right. Any other corrections?
Many more.
Oh.
It's the majority of our life.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. In response to the claim that we made about Dennis Nilsen being the only serial killer with a dog, he was not the only serial killer with a dog.
Okay.
Ian Brady and Myra Hendley, had a dog named Puppet.
Oh, all right.
Yeah, but that's like the closest one because we covered the rest in the actual this episode, which we'll talk about, is because we talked about how like because John Wayne Gacy had a dog as a boy.
I cut all that out.
Oh, you cut all that out?
Yeah,
why?
Because it didn't work with the flow of the episode. It was like 2 minutes past.
Yeah, but you just got covered. That's why I did that. That's why I did that. So
we can cover it here on Side Stories.
Yeah, we can cover here on Side Stories.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's like I did look it up. While we were doing it. And I said all of this shit. I didn't know that he didn't get to you because I don't listen to all the episodes.
Yeah, John Wayne Gacy had a dog as a child.
Yeah.
And I think everyone has a dog as a child, though.
Yeah.
No. Some people don't. Holden didn't because animals react adversely to him.
Holden had a friend with reptiles, so that was like his version of having a dog.
Yes, John Wayne Gacy had a dog as a child. I looked all this shit up. So I wasn't wrong.
You read a Wikipedia article.
Yeah, which is where the other fucking idiots found the information too. That's where everybody finds information.
But you still missed the only ones that had the dog as adults. Is Mira Henley and Ian Brady.
Who's Mira Henley?
They were the Morris murders.
Oh.
Which we have to do. That's a thing. I'm not, I don't find myself responsible for any information that's outside of one of our episodes until we get to it. It's like, up until then, you can tell me I'm wrong, but once we get to that episode, then we could talk about it.
Yeah.
I have to talk about the Moors murders. Well, that's a good episode.
We haven't covered those yet, huh?
Yeah, we did.
We did cover those.
Yeah, Horrors of the UK.
Oh, yes.
But it was a very, very small, very, very tiny overview. Because
okay.
Remember, that was when we were doing that in anticipation of our UK tour. The first one that got canceled.
That's right. Yes. That's right. Yes, not for lack of sales. I forget why that got canceled. I think it was because of lack of sales.
It was because of lack of sales.
Oh, it was.
Yeah, because they were putting us in like venues that we can fill now, but 5 years ago we were nowhere near. Because remember 5 years
That's
ago,
because
right. They rebooked us and we ended up playing in that abandoned bakery in Manchester,
right
next to Strangeways.
Yes.
That was more appropriate for us.
That's right. We performed right by the prison that held Bronson. That place was truly horrifying.
That was great.
I think that's my favorite venue I've ever performed in.
Me too.
Yeah.
That Manchester venue was so fucking cool. It looked so evil. We had such a good night there,
that
too.
Was so fun.
I want to go back. I want to go back to Manchester.
Yeah,
we'll have to at some point. We'll do it in the not too distant future.
Yeah, I think where we spend maybe like less than 24 hours in Manchester.
Yeah.
We were just in and out, so we didn't really get to experience much of the actual like nightlife of it. But the venue was amazing. It was how many people were there? Maybe like 100.
Yeah, it was chill, yeah. Man.
If even that, it was on a slightly elevated stage in this like old bakery,
yep,
that had a World War II bomb shelter in it.
Right.
And a lot of people, when they got there, they were like, this is a dangerous neighborhood.
Yeah, we were like, oh, okay, very nice.
We shouldn't be here right now.
Yeah, they were horrified. But just
That kind of shit.
By sheer ignorance, we got like street cred. Be like, yeah, we know, we're fine.
All I do is walk into the hardest neighborhoods of the world. That's what we did.
And that was the one where we thought we were getting driven around for free, and then it turns out we owed the guy a lot of money.
Yeah,
we did not know that until he looked at us like with puppy dog eyes, be like, I'll have my money now.
Yeah,
he's like, we have to pay you. Okay.
He's like, yes, you owe me £800 for the last 4 days.
Where is that boy?
I don't know.
He was very nice.
What was his name?
Chandler?
Man. I don't remember. All I know is we saved him from sleeping in the van. Do you remember they wanted him to sleep in the van? And we're like, he's got to have a bed.
Yeah,
he's got to drive us for like 10 hours.
So we had to get him a hotel. This is when we were in the UK. Man.
We had no money.
We had nothing. Yeah, we had nothing, but the people who booked us hired a driver for us to drive us from Glasgow to Manchester and then down to London.
They got us a driver that we had to hire.
Yes, they got us
that we had to hire.
Yes, but he didn't know that at the time. Yeah, they just called a guy and said, show up.
And I kept on getting hammered and giving him like $40 because I was like, oh, this is a nice tip. I didn't realize we were like, oh, God. Anyway, he was a sweet kid.
He was a super sweet guy. Yeah. But yeah, he got us all the way there. And then at the end, we discovered we owed him pretty much all of the money we made on merch.
Yeah. We'll call that one breaking even.
I'll always remember him. I was sitting up front and you guys were asleep and he was just sitting there and he was just like, me and my girlfriend are going on a vacation this year. And I was like, oh, where are you guys going? She's like, we're going to Poland. We're going to see Auschwitz. And I was like, oh, man.
Oh, that's
so you guys going to have fun, huh?
Yeah, that should be a... The thing about Auschwitz is they got those two dueling hot dog stands outside of it, which I think is completely inappropriate. I really do.
I want to go there so bad.
It would be fascinating.
People need to eat.
I just don't think that, but...
Well, you can't have a commissary. Like,
no,
I actually think they do, though.
They have, like, vending machines and stuff there.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah, you gotta eat, man. You're out there all day.
Yeah.
And I guess it's not, you know, the history of it is bad. I mean, you shouldn't be like a big turkey leg like you can get at a Ren Fair, but...
I mean, do you need a hot dog? Like, do you want a hot dog? It's also my only impression. You want a hot dog?
Right.
You remember that old catchphrase?
Yeah.
You want a hot dog?
Yeah. But no, the answer is no. Anyway.
Yeah.
I don't know. I get hungry in a lot of weird circumstances, and I wonder if it's just an emotional response.
Honestly, that's a good point. As soon as I'm stressed, immediately hungry.
I eat a lot when I'm stressed as well. Next,
right.
Next correction, and this isn't necessarily a correction, this is just a misconception that we had.
Okay.
The First Minister of Scotland, Ruth Davison, is gay. And the Irish Prime Minister is gay. And Ireland legalized gay marriage.
Yes, before we did.
Yeah, very.
That's right.
Yeah, they say that Ireland is post-Catholic these days.
Well, and everyone's praising the Pope because he did tell a gay person that that's how God created him.
Mm-hmm.
And people are really praising the Pope. Oh, wow, so woke. I'm so happy the Pope said it.
I know.
Oh, yay.
I will say, like, when you set the bar, like, 100% bigoted, like, as soon as you just, like, slightly say something nice, you get a lot of praise.
It's like, hey, you're a human. Wow.
Wow.
Whoa.
I can't believe it.
That's so great.
I can't believe
he was human.
When they, did they also, like, just apologize for their treatment of the Jews during the Holocaust? Like, didn't they just do that?
I will say, Pope Francis is doing some corrections of his own.
Yeah.
So that's good.
I think John Paul apologized for the whole Nazi thing.
Okay, good.
Yeah, yeah, but when he did...
I think Pope Benedict rescinded it, though.
Because he was just like muttering like bookmark of a person by the end, right? Like, didn't they just get him up, like slide him into his suit, and he'd be like drooling all over himself. And then
Pope Mobile. Yep. He was really the big, Pope Francis is doing pretty well, but I think Pope John Paul was the biggest that I remember. People loved him.
Yeah. He was around for so long.
Yeah. That's right.
He got shot, didn't he?
He did. That's why he had the mobile.
Yeah. The Pope Mobile.
Yeah.
He's trying to quit. The new Pope is already saying it's time for him to quit.
No, Francis is saying that because Benedict already quit. Francis is going to quit too?
Yeah, he said he's going
to
quit.
Whatever happened to Pope for life?
Yeah.
Nope.
All right. Well, that's crazy. I guess maybe Benedict started a new trend.
I suppose so.
All right. Wish our Supreme Court justices would take note.
I just don't really understand how you can just quit. How can you just quit? I thought the whole point is that you stress your whole life, then it's like, I don't want to be Pope anymore.
I don't know, man.
Piece of fuck. I don't care about any of these idiots.
I don't know if there's a law that says you have to be Pope until you die.
No, Benedict.
I'm making it so. I hereby declare that it should be a law that Popes stay until they are doddering, shitting their pants, and they can't even get their ruby slippers on.
Well, all right. I think that was the way for quite a while.
And our final correction today.
Uh-oh.
Highest body count.
In the UK or just total?
In UK, Harold Shipman.
I responded myself to this because Harold Shipman to me is a doctors who kill category.
Right,
I know, yes, it was 215, but he did it like it was interpersonal and a lot of it was for money. And like, yes, he took some trophies and shit, but for me... For my money, Dennis Nilsson's more of a capital S, capital K serial killer.
Well, did
Shipman did a lot more. It was like an industrial a move to kill people.
Well, yeah, because Shipman never killed outside of the hospice, right?
But I'm not
weird.
I think you're splitting hairs here, though.
I am splitting hairs. That's the whole point. That is literally what I'm doing.
Yeah.
That I'm saying that is how I believe it. It's like, yes, technically he's a serial killer and he had a methodology, but I don't know if he had the same. I mean, obviously I would like to, we will research him and cover him at some point, but in terms of like actual in-depth, like deep fantasy life and the way Dennis Nilsson lived and the ritualistic way that he murdered people, like it's just in terms of branding. I would put him in a doctor's suit.
I see where Henry's coming from as well, because did Shipman see himself as like a Kevorkian?
Well, I think...
Did he see himself as an angel of mercy?
I mean, that's how most nurses and doctors who kill see themselves. Okay. And I think it's still a fantasy. It's just a different kind of fantasy. And I guarantee you Shipman was... I mean, he had a full bone every time he put that needle
in. You think so?
Oh, yeah.
We'll have to do a deep dive on him sometime soon.
Oh yeah, I'd like to. I'd love to do Doctors Who Kill anyway, like that whole thing. But I just think that you can break it down into different categories. I feel like that there's obviously ways to talk about the way people think about stuff. It's like the idea, the difference between a mass shooter, like constant shooters, and you'd have somebody like Berkowitz. Like there's a difference where it's like one is like a spurt. It's like a thing. It's a one moment. It's about getting attention. Where Berkowitz was like living a whole. He had a methodology, you know, like a philosophy in his inner life attached to what he was doing.
It is weird when they got like Nilsson, when they got the bodies in the home.
Mm-hmm.
That is a little bit different than like a Shipman, where I guess he clocks out and he's no longer a serial killer. Or How did they even find that guy? How did they figure out that he was killing everybody?
I think how it happened was they started noticing that as soon as Shipman saw a patient, they ended up dead very, very soon afterwards. So they went and they don't quote me on this, don't give me a correction on this one if I'm wrong, because when we do the episode, I will do it right. But I think they found out that some of his patients were dying mysteriously, and then they went and exhumed a bunch of his other patients and found that they all had the same chemical in their bodies.
I think
that's what it was. And that might have been, I know one doctor or nurse who killed got caught that way. I think it was Shipman, but I'm not 100% sure.
That would make sense.
That make a lot of sense. I'm looking at his Wikipedia page right now, but it's like, you know, it's in the sense like diamorphine is what he was doing. It's all kind of bullshit. But I just feel like there's a spiritual difference between the two.
I understand.
So it's like the difference between, like, say, like a straight up like sexual serial killer, a Black Widow and a Doctor Who kill. Like, those are all three like kind of different sorts of things.
Because I believe that their motives are a part of, I mean, like, why are crimes committed? Because it's a part of like going all the way back to like, why are we here? Why did he have 215 bodies? A lot of it had to do with money. Like, yes, he had
pathology.
He was
getting money from the people. What, he had him sign a bunch of documents or something?
Yes, he was like working into getting their wills. He was taking the money. He was taking their stuff. He was doing stuff. So I think a lot of it was money motivated. I'm sure obviously he had psychosexual problems that were built into it, which is what happens when you kill 215 people. But I think that it's same thing with Black Widows. Black Widows have a very concrete motive. The thing about serial killers, like when we talk about Dennis Nilsen, is his motives are complex to the point where there is no direct motive. There is like the direct motive is a fantasy. So it's not like he doesn't get anything out of it. He just made his life worse by killing people.
Yeah.
Shipman was using it in a way to make his life better.
And that's what we talk about on this week's Patreon episode. We have a great interview for anyone who has given to our Patreon. Please give. We interview Trey and Barbara, the director and co-director of Evil Genius, the Netflix docuseries. And the whole thing is like, it's possible this one guy, what's his name, Rothstein?
Bill Rothstein.
It's possible this whole thing was just his fantasy that he wanted to come to life so that Marjorie would love him. I mean, there's so much crazy stuff out there. Who knows? Motivation is very difficult to prove.
Very much so.
All right. Well, there's
some corrections. But I think it's important because you can't separate the two. I watched Red Dragon last night, and that's what they talk about quite a bit. It's about motivation. And Hannibal Lecter, ooh, he's scary. And he's so hungry. Yum, yum. Not a good film.
Honestly, you eat worse than Hannibal Lecter, and he ate humans.
Yeah.
Wait till we go to fucking Rome, buddy.
I'm horrified. You know, in Italy, they have a dish where it's just a sheep's head. And then you just dig in, but I can't do it, man.
Oh, dude, Iceland does it too. Iceland is
just a sheep's head.
They love the boiled sheep's head. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah, apparently, the food in Iceland that our buddy Ragnar,
of course,
the food over there, because he's a food guy over there now.
Oh, is he?
Oh yeah, okay, yeah, yeah, great. Real big food guy over there now.
Iceland has some of the most incredible. Like they have these destination restaurants that are people going all over the world. They have like two or three of the best restaurants in the world.
I know it's like totally.
But it is all the type of stuff that Henry loves to eat.
I'm like such a hypocrite. I understand. I should be able to look my food in the eye and eat its face. I just can't. I'm not a Miami homeless person. I can't just gnaw on people's faces. I can't gnaw on animals' faces. But I understand that I shouldn't eat meat then.
Yeah.
But you know, it's just hard to pick a cheekbone off while you're staring in the eyes.
Rome is about pasta and organ meats. And I'm going to show you guys, it's going to be this place where we're going. Also, it's kind of like a northern Rome, one restaurant I picked that we're going to go. Oh, man, we're going to get so much fucking feet meat, dude.
I hope we survive.
You know, I've always kind of wanted to eat an eye.
Yeah,
well,
buddy.
You can.
Can I do that?
Yeah, of course. They pop.
Yeah, that's what I want to eat
them. You boil them, and then they pop. No. Like, they have, like, a thing where it's like a... I did this shooter once. It was bacon wrapped in sort of like a cylinder, like a thick cylinder, filled with a tube of lamb's brains. And they're very big. But the problem is that you really got to eat it all at once, because if you bought it, which I made the mistake of, is I bit it in half, and the shot of brains hit me right in the back of the throat.
I don't like it.
And that was rough, because they really has to sit.
Have you ever eaten eyes?
No, because my mom stopped doing, because it was this very Italian thing, and my mom never did it. She never did the goat head bake that you Good. Can do where you pop out the eyes. But it's supposed to be, I mean, obviously it's going to be a complex flavor.
Yeah, I guess so. There's a documentary. I'm trying. It's about this guy, Richard Turner. He's the blind magician.
Mm-hmm. Delt, and he eats an eye in it. Delt is fucking crazy, dude. He's blind as shit.
Yeah.
He's blind as shit. He learns how to fucking, he's doing all crazy. These up-close card tricks, completely blind. Also, became a black belt in some form. I forgot what the form of black belt is. Right. And a part of it is in order to get it, they have to beat you in. You have to fight 10 guys. And he's like, I don't give. They're like, hey, we know how hard you work. We're going to give you the belt. We know you're going blind. He's like, let me do this myself.
Yeah.
And so they just beat the fuck out of him. He had to fight 2 guys with a broken arm.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. The guy's
great.
He's a badass dude. And you got to check it out. You have to check out Delt. He's all blind all the time. He's like Daredevil.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's see here. Anything else? Thank you for the corrections, Marcus. I would love to point out that I was correct about George Harrison. Indeed, he was a Hare Krishna. And the Hare Krishnas, you know, not the worst people. They come to Midtown, or they go to Union Square here in New York when it's nice. They don't want to be here when it's cold. And, you know, they're okay. A little annoying.
They like to, they dance in a circle.
Yeah, if they do that. They're relatively peaceful, though, I think.
I mean, we try our absolute hardest to be correct at all times. We do a lot of double check and fat check and things like that. But you know what? When you got a show coming out every week, it's hard.
When you talk as much as we do, I think we actually do pretty good.
Yeah.
On all the shows here on the Last Bad Gas Network.
Yeah, I feel like we could be doing worse.
Oh, yeah.
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 But yeah, I'm excited. So I guess, yes, of course, keep the corrections coming. They're going to come anyway. Yeah. So see, keep them coming. And so we're going to do this because a part of it's we're staying vigilant. We're staying strong. We're going to keep doing this. Maybe every once in a while, we're going to have Marcus in here to do this and give us a corrections roundabout.
Yeah, whenever you're done, working extremely hard on the book.
Man, next 2 weeks, man, next 2 weeks is just, I'm going to be an author for the next 2 weeks. You guys are going to be off in Italy doing your thing. I'm just going to be in my little office, click, click, tackety, tack, tack, tack.
For some reason, I just picture you corn cob pipe, no clothes, but cowboy boots, and you just kind of walk around with a lot of confidence. And
I just sadly see you be like, I'm not gonna hurt you, Caroline. I'm not gonna hurt you. I'm just gonna bash your fucking brains in.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't go full Nicholson. As a matter of fact, I don't think you have a door in your bathroom. No, you do have a door in your bathroom. It just doesn't lock.
Actually, in our apartment, we have one door.
That's right.
In the entire apartment, on my office. And we did not realize until the day we moved in, like, oh, this apartment doesn't have doors.
Yeah.
Yes.
Open concept.
But at least you guys are nude a lot, and you don't have that many guests.
We don't have that many friends left here in New York City.
I know. All of you have abandoned us.
Nah, man. We're just fucking just spreading it around, dude. You guys got to fucking, let's go. We'll be chilling out and hanging out more on either coast together.
Yep, we're going to be all over this great state of ours. Country.
It's a country.
Oh, my gosh. All right, everyone. Well, thank you so much for listening to Side Stories. Hail yourselves. We appreciate it. Anything else?
Don't forget, we have tickets on sale for our San Diego Comic-Con show. You can go see, go get ticket link for that at Last Podcast on the Left.
I don't know. I want to dress up. I want to be in the Comic-Con.
You want to cosplay?
I want to I'm not going to call it cosplay. I'm going to call it being cool. I'm just going to call it being cool guy. And I want to be like Juggernaut or something.
You know what you'd make a pretty good
Colossus
version of?
What?
Groot.
You would be a pretty good Groot.
But Groot is so thin.
No.
He's thick.
He's thick.
And then all I have to say is I am Groot.
Young Groot is thin.
Oh, man. Groot is so funny. Vin Diesel, speaking of money, $20 million I think he got for that.
It's great.
But he did learn how to say I am Groot in like six different languages.
It's nice.
And did you see that one kid? He had to write a story from the perspective of a superhero, and then he said, I am Groot, and then the whole thing was just, I am Groot.
Oh, my God.
And he had to get an A, because he did it right.
That is very smart. Yeah, that is very, very, very smart.
That is very funny.
I always like kids that like find a way to cheat, but it's also allowed.
And I love the new Avengers movie. It was great.
I didn't see it yet, it doesn't matter to me. I know how it is.
You know, I'm a big comic book guy. I love my Marvel movies. Spider-Man Homecoming, best comic book movie ever made.
You think so?
I think so.
Spider-Man?
Whoa. Spider-Man Homecoming. Well, I wouldn't say best comic book movie, best Marvel movie ever made.
Really?
Easily. Spider-Man Homecoming.
Deadpool was better.
No, I don't like Spider-Man.
Deadpool's kind of outside. That's the Fox or the Sony universe. Out of the
Dark
Marvel
Knight.
Series. Oh, no, I mean Marvel comic book movie, not all comic book movies.
Just Marvel. What else is a Marvel one?
I like Iron Man, Avengers. Did you watch the new Spider-Man?
I did. It was very good.
I don't like things about boys.
Yeah, I just don't,
I don't like stuff about young boys. I like stuff that's about grizzled big men.
Well, you can like Wolverine. Both. Well, Wolverine's kind of different.
Logan's over there. That's the best one.
Yeah, but that's over in like the Sony universe. Those are the X-Men movies.
I don't know what the difference is. All these universes.
Yeah, there's the Marvel Studios universe, and there's like the Sony universe. Like, and those, I think it's Sony or Fox. I think it's Fox. That's where all the X-Men movies are. That's where like Deadpool and Logan and all the X-Men First Class movies. That's where those live.
But they're all Marvel, though. They are Marvel,
They
right?
all come from Marvel comics, but they're in two different universes.
My head hurt. Brain hurt. I like Black Panther.
Black Panther was great. Very good. Yeah. Black Panther was great. Yeah. I could really, like, if you guys want me to like break down some actual like comic book continuity, I could really make your head hurt.
I don't know, man.
Tell me what you want to know, and I'll come back next time and tell you all about it.
Next time, all right. We're
I don't know what I want to know. You have to tell me what I want to know.
Yeah, I don't even know. I don't know what I don't know, so.
That is true. Well, I mean, it depends on if you want to know Marvel or DC lore, or DC lore if you want to know about, like, pre-crisis, post-crisis, crisis, or Zero Hour, any of that type
of
stuff.
What's the problem?
The continuity kind of keeps restarting each time.
Oh, I see.
Until all the stuff
like
happened
the
before
Knight.
Didn't happen.
That's what I like. I like the Dark Knight. That was my favorite one.
Yeah, yeah. That was a good one.
Crisis on Infinite Earths, Infinite Crisis, Final Crisis.
Wow.
Yeah, a lot of crises.
A lot of crises. A lot
Infinite
of drama.
Crisis. Infinite Crisis was the best one by far.
Well, Unbreakable.
That was not, I don't think that was very good.
I'm excited for it coming back. I'm excited for the Split sequel.
It's coming back?
Yeah, I mean, because at the end of Split, you realize that it all tied into Unbreakable, and then they're coming back.
Split do well enough to get, I think he wanted to like push the studio's hands, but I don't think that Split did very well.
Split did very well.
Did it?
Hmm.
Yeah, and I like Split.
You didn't
I had a good
see
time
it?
With it.
Mm-mm. You liked it?
Yeah, I liked it. I had a good time with it.
I thought
it's
it was
very silly. It's very
it's
candy.
Silly. Yeah, it's silly. I just felt like it's one of those where I just didn't believe that the guy was that scary. Just like kick him, hit him.
What was that horror movie with the grandparents that felt kind of like an M. Night Shyamalan movie?
That was
The Visit.
What was that one?
It was The Visit, and it was an M. Night Shyamalan movie.
It was.
That was a great movie.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think I assumed that it wasn't him because it was good.
He came back with it.
Yeah.
Well, M. Night Shyamalan, the whole thing was, his whole thing was surprise endings, and now with social media, it's almost impossible to keep anything under wraps.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
His endings are like constantly getting spoiled, and then it's like, oh, I get it. Okay, he was dead the whole time. Got it.
He actually still fucked up the ending with credit sequence in The Visit.
How?
Because it's the credits so you can. Well, I don't want to get into it, because there's
dude,
a lot of people.
It's 2 years old.
Yeah, but you know what? I know. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be you. I'm not going to be you.
Wow.
Spoils everything.
Whoa. It's 2 years old.
2 years
Check
is
it
not
out.
That long a time. There's so
two
many movies
gonna,
out.
2 years is a
know,
long
I'm gonna,
time.
You know what, man? I'm going to ruin the movie
there
for
are
you.
There's some movies made in the 70s that I haven't seen. Or the 80s
yeah,
or the 90s.
But then you can't blame the person who tells you the end of, like, Easy Rider.
I think...
Or Usual Suspects. Watch the movie or it gets spoiled for you. Well, and if you haven't seen The Visit, that is your fault. I'm not going to spoil
it. You know, a lot of people don't have time that you have, Ben.
Actually, people have a lot more time than I have.
Yeah, maybe. I tell you what, you know who didn't have a lot of time was that woman who shat at the Starbucks. Thinking about her quite
a bit. Oh, man.
This is a
full-on
Duke she dropped like it was an egg.
And, like, so fast.
Yeah.
Like, and I like how she
needed it.
She pulled the napkins, knowing what her end game was going to be. She pulled the napkins, shat, threw the shit, which is, whoa, good move. And then wiped herself. She didn't ruin her pants.
Yeah, nice. She did. And then, oh, man. Yeah, she, I mean, you just got to trust people.
Rush
oh, no, it's
job,
a Tim
though.
Hortons, by the way. It was
oh,
a
it
Tim
was
Hortons.
A Tim, that's what I thought. Yeah, if they say they got to go, just trust them.
So was it in Canada? Because I know we still have a couple of Tim Hortons here in America.
I don't know. I wouldn't go to one. I don't go to Tim Hortons outside of Canada because I don't give to other countries instead of the giving back home. I give to home. I give to America.
That's very, very patriotic, Henry.
Yeah. Yeah, buddy.
You know, surprisingly, I kind of miss Canada.
I like, hey man, you know, Canada's a great place. People were very sweet. Our fans were very sweet. There were some snooty bartenders that I was confronted by for no reason. But mm-hmm.
There are some snooty people here and there, but yeah, I do miss it a little. Good.
Well, I'm sure we'll end up going back at some point.
I'm certain that we will go back.
I want to spend time in Calgary.
Calgary was, we did not spend, I would have rather spent time in Calgary than Toronto, I think.
And I want to, like, I want to hang out with the Hart family.
There are people in Calgary punching themselves in the face just hearing that. Because there's, like, nothing in Calgary.
Yeah.
And everyone's just like, you want to come to fucking Calgary? And I get it, because we went, it's so relaxing, it's fun.
I like the vibe. Remember that, the hip-hop show that we saw in Calgary?
Yes!
That was great!
They were definitely Calgary, and it was definitely hip-hop, and it was, they were good.
It was so much fun, yeah.
It was really, it reminded me of the Midwest. Very Midwest.
It definitely reminded me, of Texas.
Yep.
You know why? Because it's like that whole area. Like, there's a lot more in common vertically in this country than, in this continent than we like to think.
You know, absolutely. And that's what this is. That's what people say when you go to another country and you say that you're from America. You're not. You're from the United States of America, because North America, it's its own content, and each part of it has its own personality.
I can't wait for you. You're going to be a great father. You know,
yeah.
That's it.
Yep.
Dogs. Well, thank you so much for listening. And check out that Patreon interview we did with the Evil Genius folks. My God, it's interesting stuff. Hail yourselves, everyone. Thank you
really
for coming
good.
On, Marcus.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is really fun.
Yeah, it's easy.
It is very easy.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations. Do you want to say a Hail Geen?
Hail Geen.
All right.
Live, love.
Oh, no.
Learn. Triple L.
No.
Get it in there.